The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But now we want to talk about planning. Ireland's planning system needs to be reformed to meet the challenges of our projected population growth of at least 1 million additional people by 2050. Is the solution maybe to follow the approach of other jurisdictions who seem to be rather better at doing it than we are? I'm joined now by Robin Mandal, architect, former president of the Royal Institute of Architects of Ireland and chair of the Dublin Democratic Planning Alliance. Robin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Pleasure to talk to you.
Now, it's quite clear that our planning system does not work. We have too many disasters evident. So what are we doing wrong?
What we're doing wrong is that we've introduced a lot of uncertainty into planning. And that is sort of partly intentional to sort of allow for innovation. But what has happened is that there's so much uncertainty that you never know at the start of a project what the decisions are going to be as it goes through the system. We've also underfunded the system, the planning system, for many, many years, primarily due to the financial crash. We de-skilled a lot of the public sector, so we don't have the right number of planners. We don't have the right number of people in support in state agencies. And, of course, the market itself had a very difficult time in the crash, and it has had a lot of difficulty in terms of producing output. So while the planning system is blamed for an awful lot of the ills, it's one of the elements in the delivery of the infrastructure that we need for our growing population.
Now,
but it's not the only one.
We had an initiative, the Strategic Housing Developments Initiative, which has now been abolished because it just was wrong in so many ways. But the idea of a developer who has a particular piece of land and they want to build a 6-story block of flats, and then they see developer number two got 8 stories down the river a bit, and they
Indeed.
Say, well, I want some of that, please.
Exactly. And in fact, there are under that system, and in fact, just in planning generally, that very often happens, you know, that people effectively speculate on the number of units they can get on a piece of land. And, you know, the one with the 8 stories would see, oh, there's a 12, oh, there's a 16. And that lack of certainty of knowing that's what you're going to get, that's how much you finance, that's how the system works, that's where the problems have come. And in fairness to SHD, now, I never thought I'd hear myself saying this, but in fairness to SHD, it was an attempt to try to ease the burdens that were there, but it was patently untrue that those burdens were holding back delivery. You know, So it was a complete failure, and it was only a temporary measure. You know, but anyhow, that's another disaster.
But an example of it, you know, a developer goes in, gets permission for maybe 80 units, or is looking for 80 units, and then figures, hang on, if I go for 100, I don't have to go through planning. I go straight to On Board Planola because
exactly.
I'm an SHD.
Exactly.
Then
exactly.
On Board Planola turns them down and they end up with 80, but they bypass the planning system because they've already started with 100. I mean, it was patently mad.
It was absolute lunacy. And I mean, history will not be kind to it. But the real damage it did was by putting developers directly in contact with the people who made the decisions in planning and the appeals board. That never, ever happened before.
Yeah.
And that struck to the root of the, in my opinion, the root of the independence of the board and the root of the trust. Everybody trusted the board really until SHD came along and the trust was lost. Mm.
Have you been to Marlborough Street and the planning board or the commission, as it's going to be called, in recent times since that process started? Because you see troops of developers going in and out and glad-handing the officials like they're bosom buddies. It is not appropriate to the kind of separation there should be between those two sectors.
Yeah, I mean, again, I agree with you. That would be my view. But the people who will solve our problems are all the people in the industry. You know, I mean, all of us live in a house that was built by a developer. You know, whether it was the state or whether it was a charity or whether it was a private person. So, you know, we all have our roles to play, and we can do it. But the fundamental error we made as a nation was that we assetized the market for housing. So housing became a product just like pork bellies, just like any of the other things that become asset driven profitable systems, right?
Yeah.
So that was our fundamental
error. So your house became an investment rather than anything else.
Indeed. And at the height of the boom, in fact, all of us suddenly became speculators. You know, it was shocking. But the planning system isn't really responsible for all of that. The planning system worked reasonably well up until it started to de-skill. When the crash came, the planning system, just remember that before the crash in 2007, 2008, we were building nearly 100,000 units a year, homes a year. Mm. Within 5 years, we were building less than 5,000. It was the same planning system. You know, the blame, I feel very strongly that blaming the planning system for all of our failures isn't the right analysis.
Well, it's popular in many of the political parties to blame the punter, the person who objects.
Well, indeed.
They look at the drawings provided to the local planning office and they can't make head nor tail of them. So rather than maybe they just object because I don't know what's going to be there, I'd love to see a 3D model of it, an accurate 3D model, not a kind of a misleading 3D model of what is going to be built.
Indeed.
And then I might say yay or nay.
Yeah. There is that, and I mean, you know, I think that's again is to do with addressing the uncertainty. If we had development plans that were pretty rigid, you know, I mean, at the moment it's very discretionary. They're just colored bits on maps, and you know, with the legislation that the government has brought in over the last decade that kind of undermines the strength of those development plans, like the height guidelines, for instance. That sort of thing, it introduces even more uncertainty. And it's that uncertainty that really upsets the people who inhabit a place and the people who want to develop a place. And there's no reason why there should be that adversarial approach. You
now,
know?
There have been some court decisions which favoured the development plan over the ambitions of developers. I think down in the East Wall area, there was one such decision that I can recall. But all of this could be avoided, and judicial reviews and appeals, if there was a rules-based system whereby you know what you can put in, and if you stay within those confines, no one's going to object, or no objection will succeed, and it'll be quick. It goes into the officials, they look at the plans and say, yes, it abides by rule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, tick, 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 given.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the logic, and that's what happens in most of Europe with the Napoleonic codes. It's quite a different system, but it is one that works and delivers much better than what we have managed to do. Now, again, in fairness, we have delivered a lot over the years. You know, we keep looking at the failures, but there have been a lot of great successes too. So, you know, there's too much of a narrative of adversarial issues in the whole thing to do with planning and development.
But wouldn't everyone be happy? The local council, either they have some control over the rules, but probably central government, knowing the way Ireland works, would lay down the rules. The development plan would then be created under those rules, and everybody, local residents, council, developers, builders, they all know the rules and they just get on with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know that on site A, this is what's going to happen, and on site B, that's what's going to happen. And, you know, as a third party, as a citizen, you've had your say in the making of the plan, and the judicial reviews you were talking about in the docs, that was a strategic development zone which had exactly those rules in place.
Yeah.
You know? And if a developer in Docklands conformed to the volumetric studies that were done, the heights that were there, the areas, the uses, they simply got permission. That was it, full stop.
Yeah.
You know, there was no debate. I firmly believe that is what we ought to be doing.
Now, I've pushed Dara O'Brien, the current minister, on this, And he was very reluctant to agree. In fact, he just rejected it out of hand, a rules-based system.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rules, I mean, there are loads of rules which are obviously disobeyed a lot of the time. Exceptions are made by the board or by the local authority. And there's all sorts of other rules and regulations that are often ignored. And why do politicians not want a rules-based system? It would get them off the hook.
It would. I mean, I think if you were being very generous, you would say it's because they want to encourage innovation. If you weren't being as generous, it would be because they don't want anyone to say, "Well, I want to do this, and you're not letting me do it." You know, which is the other side of that. But you know, I mean, in the national planning framework, which is open for has just closed for consultation recently. One of the things that is of great concern to me is that they're bringing in even more of this discretionary planning, where even if the development plan says you must do this, you must do that, if the developer can argue that what they're proposing, even though it doesn't conform, is a better thing, well, then they should be able to do it. Now, that's fine if the people who are assessing it are not the agents of the developer. You know, if the local authorities were actually assessing all of these, you know, they do in Belgium, you know, you cannot get a report on a scheme that a developer is doing in Belgium that isn't done by the local authority, you know.
In other words, what we do is we allow the developers to provide their own expertise. And we all know that if you want someone in court to swear black is white, you can find one and pay them and they'll do it. So this is what you're up against.
I'd phrase it differently, but you know, the assessment should be by the regulator rather than the applicant.
Yeah, not by a hired gun. That's basically what it is.
Well, yeah.
So where are we to go? We've got this massive planning bill which is going to go through. Is that going to improve things at all, or have we missed an opportunity to simplify everything, give us the rules, and let us get on with it?
I think we've missed the opportunity, and I've argued it from the moment that the bill was published in draft. We could have made as simple as possible, a planning system that was clear to everybody. The bill as it stands, which will be enacted probably before the end of this government, when that becomes an act, all 700 and odd pages of it will be fodder for dispute and for uncertainty, and the only people who will be the beneficiaries are the specialists and the lawyers. You couldn't have, in my opinion, you couldn't have made up a more complex system. And the sole impact of it is that it is going to make it much harder to take judicial review. Now, government would disagree with me on this, but my view is that it makes it much harder to do it, and that one of the purposes of the bill is to stop judicial review.
Yeah.
When in fact, you should be stopping the reasons for judicial review.
We've been saying that on this program so many times. I mean, here's the rub. You can, of course, have a judicial review if under this bill, if you have an organisation, a residence organisation, that has existed for a certain length of time. But often there's no need for a residence association until some developer comes in with an outlandish plan. And that's when but it's too late. Sorry, you didn't have it when the plan came in, so you may not apply for judicial review. It's almost devious.
That would be my view. And, you know, in sort of 50 years practice as an architect, we never discuss judicial review other than in very limited circumstances where an adjoining landowner might have been able to review a decision of the board. But it never happened until SHD arrived. You know, it never happened in my experience. And then the wool was just pulled out from everybody, you know.
And of course, this is being done against the background of another report, an internal report commissioned by Mbor Planola into its own activities, which report has not yet been published and maybe never will, which suggests that things were not, even the scandals we did uncover, that there may be more.
I haven't read either of any of the recent reports, but certainly the trust that everybody in the industry and everybody, you know, and the citizen had in Mbor Planola has gone. And that has to be restored. It absolutely has to be restored. I mean, again, as a practicing architect, I had many decisions that the board made against my clients, but we accepted them. You know, we never sort of said, well, there's something strange going. Why did they do that? We trusted them. And it's that trust has to be brought back into the system, and its certainty has to be brought into the system too. Well,
and this and bill is not going to do either of those things, probably.
I don't believe it is. And what we really need to do is we need to strengthen our planners, the people on the ground. We need to give them the power to actually plan the future rather than to be ticking boxes and planning applications that are discretionary.
Robin, thank you. Appreciate the conversation. Robin Mandal, architect, former president of the Royal Institute of Architects of Ireland, chair of the Dublin Democratic Planning Alliance. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.